Hey guys. So we're going to do, today's going to be really fun. It's going to be really interactive. So if you think this is about to be a teaching on like the seven words of praise, this is not what this is. We're here to find out that everyone can lead worship anywhere because worship is an overflow of knowing Jesus. And worship is not singing and it's not a song. Believe it or not, it's true. Okay, so we're just going to talk. What I'm going to do is for like 15 minutes, I'm going to simplify and demystify worship for everyone because in our culture, sometimes we can feel really disconnected from what worship actually is and like just miss the simplicity and the childlikeness of it because we're so used to having a stage connect us to worship, and that's not bad because there's totally a place for it. Obviously, we do it like every morning, but there is also a place of which God's doing something new and different in our generation where everyone is equipped to carry the spirit of the living God, whether you're going to the hardest and darkest or whether you're leading 50,000 people in a stadium. There's certain eternal principles of connecting with Jesus that don't change. Does that make sense? So I just, like, today's just going to be really fun. I think everyone's going to leave super refreshed. You're just going to feel super activated of like, oh my goodness, I know how to lead a group of three people in worship, and I know how to lead a stadium in worship. Raise your hand if you've never sang in your entire life. Jim, whatever. You sing behind me. You play bass all, whatever. You've never sang. I do not believe you. I don't even believe you. So everyone in here is like, no, has anyone, raise your hand if you've never sang like on a microphone. Raise your hand if that would make you throw up. That's so cool. I love that. Okay, really cool testimony from Kansas City. Because I used to be the same way. I totally used to be the same way. Like, couldn't even, yeah, right. I remember my DTS, someone heard me singing in the background, like in the back of the room. So they're like, you should sing harmonies with the worship leader. And I was like, if you want barf all over the floor, I'll totally do that. But if you don't, then I should probably stay in the back of the room. And so it's just this incredible journey of really understanding how the enemy wants to put fear into us so we don't lift our voices in worship. Because really, it's worship that shifts atmospheres. It's knowing Jesus. It's declaring who he is that breaks the darkness. It shatters the darkness. Knowing Jesus and shining his light really is what shows his love everywhere we go. So really cool testimony. We were in Kansas City. And lucky for you guys, I'm not going to do this today. But if I was, I would have made everyone who just raised their hand come up here. But I won't. We're not. I only have 15 minutes. So in Kansas City, what we did was I asked that same question, and I got a group of people and who didn't sing. And so I said, well, great. Then you're the ones that are going to lead us in worship today because everyone has the ability to lead anyone in worship. Because if you know Jesus, you can lead anyone in a time of worship, even if you're talking. It's so true. So no kidding. So I have these people line up. This one girl gets the microphone and she's just like, you can tell she's like totally nervous, but I've just given this huge speech on like courage, having no fear. Da-da-da. So you're kind of in that moment where you're like, even if you do want to throw up, you have to sing with the microphone in your hand. It's like, sorry. And so she gets up there and she busts it open. Well, then I go back in the bathroom and she's weeping. So I'm like, oh no. Like, I knew it was going to be okay, but I was like, oh, what a bummer. But she's weeping because she had a dream the night before that she had a microphone singing on that stage. And she was like, that will never happen to me. I have way too much fear. And her group was the group I called on to come up and sing. And she said, I will never be the same. That day for outreach, she went to a mall and she stood like an outdoor mall. She stood in the corner and she sang the Bible and two people got saved. No joke. She sang it out. So she went through a radical encounter through breaking the sound barrier of knowing, like, you guys, there is no limits to how you express your love for Jesus. So really simple, simple, simple scripture. If you have your Bible, open up to it. If you don't stress. But we're going to 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. So there's a reality in John 17 where it says, and this is your eternal life, that you would know me, the one true living God. I got so captivated by all these verses that would talk about knowing God, that this is like Well, this is eternal life, that you would know me. And then when Paul's like, I count it all as loss to know you. And I begin to think, like, there's something about knowing Jesus that's a really big tool to carry on earth until Jesus comes back. So then, basically, what I'm about to teach you came from an experience I had while I was in Mozambique. So I had been leading worship. I had broken out of all this fear. God totally breaks me just... And every time I would sing, things would happen. So the Lord is more like, can I use you? Can you come out of your fear so I can use you? And it was a surrender piece on my end. So I'm like exposed to worship. Well, I go to Mozambique. And I was with Heidi, who was here Thursday night. We were in this unreached people group. And these people got saved. This was 2 years, 2.5 years ago now. And I'm like in awe. I had never seen this. Like, I'd seen people get saved, but not like that. And I'm just like undone. Because this is why I came to YWAM in the first place. Did my DTS in 2007. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is real. The blind eyes are opening. The deaf are hearing. This is crazy. Oh my goodness. And Heidi turns to me and she's like, all right, Lindy, lead us in worship. And I was like... Like, you can't pull out how great is our God, and everyone will be like, how great is our God. I don't know their language. I don't know any songs they know. And I have about 30 seconds to decide what I'm going to do. All these people just got saved. Everyone's standing there. Heidi points to me like, oh my gosh, the most amazing worship leader's here. Lead us. I'm like... Oh no. And so I'm just like, I legitimately don't know what to do. Cause I can't fake it. I can't do you know, when Jesus says, he says it in Isaiah, it's said in Isaiah, Jesus quotes it in Matthew, they honored me with their lips, but their hearts were far from me. I was like, my lip service will do absolutely nothing here right now. And it just confronted in my heart, like, whoa, how much, like, do I just say to get the job done, or how much do I just do to get through it? And the Holy Spirit whispered to me in that moment, he said, you know me. And I was like, I totally know you. He said, sing to me how you know me, and it will break it open. And I was like, huh? And then that's when the Lord, he spoke the scripture to me. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And I went, oh my goodness, that's so simple. Me knowing you, how I know Jesus, how I encounter Jesus in the secret place, I will know him like that forever. When I see him face to face, I'll be like, oh, I saw that part of you on earth. I didn't see that billion other parts, but oh my goodness, we connected there. And that's going to be like that for eternity. And so basically what this scripture is saying is me locking into the knowledge of God destroys arguments and lofty opinions that come against the knowledge of God. Why are people not saved? Because they don't know Jesus yet. Because they just haven't heard of his love. So when you walk in knowing the lover of their soul and you're confident in knowing him, it breaks arguments and lofty opinions because you've been given divine weapons to destroy every argument and lofty opinion. So I'm standing there in the bush in Africa. The Holy Spirit whispers to me, you know me, you know me. And I went, oh my goodness, I know you. I know you. And so in that moment, I just said, God, what do you want me to sing? And he said, get everyone to sing that there is only one God. So I was like, okay, then I'm going to keep this simple. You must want everyone to lift that up because in their salvation, they probably had tons of idol stuff. And what would be a sweet fragrance to you would be this entire place singing, there's only one true God. So I asked someone, what is this in their language? So I learned it really quick. And for 45 minutes in their language, we just sang, there's only one true God. There's only, and it just erupted. And I went, it is so simple. It's so simple. It's so simple. Knowing God is the key to unlocking eternity everywhere you go. It is the key when you're talking to someone who's unsaved and they don't know Jesus, and you're literally talking with them about someone you know. It's like when you meet someone who's just like, you know, like say someone like really loves their mom or whoever. It's like they want to talk about them all the time. Or if someone's in love, like if someone's like, you know when someone's in love because they want to talk about it all the time. And Yes. And so it's just like, does that make sense? So it's like you chatter. So it's like you know Jesus. When you know Jesus, I'm telling you, it's so simple. So I know this story seems kind of like a long story, but I was never the same after that moment. It changed how I led worship everywhere I went. Because then I walked into every room going, oh my goodness, I don't ever have to wonder if Jesus is going to show up or if it's going to have the breakthrough. If God wants it to erupt in joy or whatever, that's totally up to Jesus. But I know that I've locked in, that I know him, that when I stand on a stage or when I'm on a ground, I'm locked into who Jesus is. And I know that my praise, when I sing to him as I know him, arguments and lofty opinions that come against the knowledge of God fall away. And I don't wonder anymore if that happens. I believe the Bible. Read the book. It's like, read the book, believe the book, live the book. And it's crazy what will happen. It's simple faith. It's simple childlike faith. It's that simple. So in worship, I think Bryce is going to lead us through some really practical stuff. But my heart is for a generation to really capture the simplicity of, like, you do not need 10 years of training at salvation. When you met Jesus, when you said yes to Jesus, you became a capable worshiper. It's like, that just is what it is. That's the ABC 1, 2, 3. And so it's, everyone has a voice because everyone has seen Jesus in this room. And I don't mean like you had an open-eye encounter. I mean, everyone in this room is saved, right? So it's like everyone, there's somewhere, somehow you've met Jesus where he captivated you to win your soul and you know him. And it's just so, it's like so profound, but so simple. Another like real life story was one time I was leading worship somewhere and I was just singing to Jesus, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, over and over and over and over and over and over. And he said, it's the same thing. He said, you know me. The way, where you're singing this from, you will sing to me from this place forever. And I went, oh my goodness. Like, it's just so simple. Does that make sense? Sometimes I feel like it's so simple, I over-communicate it, but I don't want to over-communicate it. It's that 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. If you just like sit on it and really think about the simplicity of what that is and just the beauty of Jesus and that we've been given the divine weapons to destroy arguments and lofty opinions coming against the knowledge of God. Because this is going to be, sometimes when I say this, people are like, whoa. But people are like, why does something happen every time you sing? Well, I go, because I believe this. That's why. It's not anything I've done. It's not anything I've done. It's just the Bible. I'm telling you, like, everyone in this room, it's a beautiful thing when you realize it's all so much more simple than we've made it out to be. Does that make sense? Okay, does anyone have any, like, questions regarding that? I have a few other things I could say, but I feel like maybe there's a question that will help gear it. Bryce, do you have anything? Nope. Any questions? If not, it's okay. Or a comment? Wow. Praise the Lord. Glory. Okay, so I'm just going to share one more little Bible piece. That's my favorite thing to share on. And then Bryce is going to take it over. Yes, that's my favorite question. I'm going to grab my Bible. Okay. Not every outreach team is going to have a Lindy or a Bryce or a Seth. That just is what it is. And done, we are done with the days of like someone grabbing an acoustic guitar and no one engaging because everyone's like, I'm bored. You know what I'm saying? So what do? So you're on outreach. This is a real scenario that probably will happen. Where are you going on outreach? Hawaii? Love it. Okay, so say you're on outreach. You have no skills. Let's say no like musical skills. You're on the streets. You meet like a group of 5 people and they all get saved. And there's 3 of you there. Okay, so now you've all like, and they're like, well, we want to meet again. We just want to worship. Let's just say they say that. And so you meet again. Okay, you may not have any musical skills, but a sincere heart, I'm telling you, a sincere heart that knows God will always drop just crazy revelation and crazy presence. Because think about it. If you just sit down and, because I know it seems so silly. It seems so silly. Like, no, that can't be real because I really can't sing or I really can't do that. And I totally get there. God does gift people in that. I'm totally aware of that. I love that. But But I think in that moment, God does want to crash in with worship. He does want to crash in with his presence. And that's when we as believers, it's just the courageous heart of Christ is saying, oh my goodness, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm going for this thing right now. And you watch, it's a sincere heart every time. Because I was with an outreach team one time. We were in China. Is Grandma or Alyssa here? Oh, they're not here. I was with Grandma and Alyssa Malinowski. And I remember there was this girl on our team. She was a little bit quieter. And then we were somewhere, and I guess someone, I don't know what happened. Someone thought she was the worship leader or something. So they asked her to sing. And she's like, what? And I could have been like, oh, I'll do it. But you just felt like, no, they asked her to sing. And even though she had never sang out and you could feel her frailty and just like, I really don't have a voice. When she sang from that gut in her heart, how she knew Jesus, everyone just jumped in. So like practically, it honestly might be awkward sometimes if you're like not used to singing, but don't let anything hold you back. Don't let anything silence you. Don't let anything keep you from totally erupting in praise. Because I'm telling you, it is going to be wild what we're going to see in this generation. Because if a harvest is really coming, a great harvest, I mean, mass harvest in America and flooding to the nations, it's like the songs and the sound and the worship will arise. We'll have so many different expressions. It can't all look the same. It can't all be one thing. You know what I mean? So it's like, I think that God is freeing up our generation to just be bold, confident, and courageous in whatever it looks like and whatever it means. Does that answer your question? I know practically it'll still be awkward. Like, I totally get that. I'm not saying, and you'll open your mouth and magically you'll be able to sing because the Lord's going to honor your obedience. I can't promise you that your voice is going to all of a sudden work, but I can promise you that God loves faith and God loves a courageous heart because he has given you a courageous heart and the Holy Spirit is alive inside of you. So whatever you step out in faith, I'm telling you, God meets you there because he's just that good and he inhabits the praises of his people. And that's true. He inhabits, like, he wants to find a place to rest in the praises of his people. And we could go on and on about like what that word praises means. It, all that stuff is actually really cool because the more you even study those words, the more simple it even makes it. Because that specific scripture where it says God inhabits the praises of his people, that word inhabit actually means a new song. And I was like, oh, like a new song, like I can sit here and write a new song and you want to inhabit it. But if what it means, it's like the fresh song of a revelation of Jesus. And I was like, that is so cool. So really, it's just like praying and discovering more of who God is and singing that out to him. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're amazing. You're amazing. You singing that now, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. And then you see a whole nother side of Jesus and you're singing, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. And then you see another side of him. You're like, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. And you're singing the same thing, but it takes even a greater like depth in your heart. It's like this never ending revelation of Jesus. So I feel like I'm going on so many bunny trails, but I just burst it like that. It's just so simple. So, amen.
So some people have never sang on a microphone. We're not going to get the buckets out and make you throw up and stuff, but there's like 33. I remember going through scripture once of commands to sing. Let's see, sing to the Lord. These are commands, not even when it says the word sing, but when it actually commands. It's a command in scripture. To me, the command to sing is the most popular command in the Bible. So if you say, if you're a Christian, that means you've said that Jesus is Lord of your life. That means that he sits on the throne, right? Does that make sense? It's like what happened at conversion when you said, okay, I'm giving my life to Jesus. You're saying, okay, Jesus, you're on the throne. I'm not, so we're going by your rules, not mine. So that means through his word, that's one of the ways that he expresses what he wants, what his will is for our life. Does that make sense? So if one of the most important commands is to sing, that seems like something we should pay attention to, right? I know like 80% of you are kind of getting nervous, wondering what I'm going to make you do. And we're all going to sing today because we want to obey the word. We don't want to be people that see the scripture, that have a Bible. How many of you have a Bible? All right, so I'm going to do this real quick. I love that worship isn't like a weird, mysterious thing, because then we'd all kind of be in trouble because we were supposed to do it all the time, right? And we're always in the prayer room worshiping. We talk about worship. We love worship music. But if it was complicated, man, we'd be in trouble. So I'm going to read a few verses to you. Here we go. Okay. In Exodus 15:21, Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously." First Chronicles, "Sing to him, sing praises to him. Sing to the Lord." These are all different verses. "And when we had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord." So they were, it was their job to sing to God. "And Hezekiah the king and the officials commanded the Levites to sing." Psalm 9, "Sing praises to the Lord." Psalm 30, "Sing praises to the Lord." Psalm 33, "Sing to him a new song." Psalm 47, "Sing praises to our God." There's 31 total that I just found. I'm sure there's more, but I just wanted to get ones that were specifically commands to sing. So are we in our outreach teams? We're in our small groups. So go ahead and stand up, and we're gonna stay active today. So get in a circle with your outreach team. Get in a circle. All right, real quick. All right, everyone's in a circle with their outreach team. Ready to go? Okay, so here's where we'll start off with, just to kind of to get the ball rolling, is get into, within your outreach team, get into groups of three or four. So if it's just split in half. All right, so stay standing. So here's what we're going to do, is we are going to, very simply, you're going to go around and you're going to sing something about God being good. So, real quick. So everyone listen up. Everyone, eyes up here. Eyes up here. So I know some of you are like trying to keep it down. It'll be fine. So here's where, let me be, just be really honest with you guys. Because you guys came to YWAM already leaders. You came to YWAM already world changers. You don't need tons of bajillions of pep talks to get you excited. You know God loves you. Amen? Okay, so here's the deal. Is that when we talk about singing, it's not about us anymore. Because if I'm like, say, hey, let's sing to Jesus, and it's like, oh, I sound bad. It's not about you. I'm sorry. It's not about you. It's about my Lord. And he's really good. And I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. I love to sing to my Lord. Also, check this out. God made you. So that means he did a good job, because God's perfect. He also made you in his image. So when you sing to him, all right, catch this. This is fun. You're the only one with your voice. No one else has your voice. Does that make sense? So if I'm silent, that means God can't hear the voice that he made. And he didn't make your voice for just you to enjoy or for you to handle however you want. I gave my life to Jesus. This is for him. My voice is for him. My life is for him. My body's his. This is his temple. Does that make sense? So when we talk about singing to him, we're talking about him hearing what he paid for when he died on the cross. Does that make sense? So as we're kind of like, oh, I'm nervous. I don't want anyone to hear me sing. I don't think I sound good. When I was 9, someone said I sounded bad, and I'm never going to sing again. God's really good, and he deserves a song. He wants to hear your song today. So here's another rule as we go around. You're going to sing something really bad. It's going to sound bad. So all you amazing singers, simplify it right now. Because there's some of you right now that could probably go off on this whole, like, R&B runs all over the place. Hi, God is so good. But we're not going to do that today. We're going to keep it really steady and really simple and kind of purposely make it sound bad. But the point is that we're all going to open our mouths because we don't want to walk in disobedience anymore. Because a bunch of you just heard scriptures, and if you heard the command to sing and you don't do it, you're in disobedience. And I know that sounds like manipulation for me to get you to sing, but we're just reading the Bible. We're being simple today. Does that make sense? So, your groups of three or four, you're going to go around until I tell you to stop. So just sing like something super simple. I'll give you an example. So I'll sing like something like, God is so good. He's really good. God is so good. I really like him. He's nice to me and he loves me. And then you tap the person to your neck, to your right, or however you want to do it. So then the next person is singing, Jesus is nice to me. One time he gave me $10 I found on the road. And he's really, really good. I love my Jesus. He loves me a whole lot. And I'm going to sing to him because I love him. He saved my life. So then the next person, oh, Jesus, I love you. Does that make sense? So you're going to go for a little bit. You're going to say just like two or three phrases, and then you go to the next person. Does that make sense? We'll start with the youngest person in your circle. So figure out who it is. All right. Hey, one more rule, real quick. This is going to be fun. I want to keep it fun. So real quick, Brian, on Monday night, did he talk about courage? I wasn't here. So he talked about we're done being passive, amen? That's the old way. So when it's your turn, you're not going to do the 10 minutes of nervous laughter waiting for your friends to coax you and tell you it's going to be okay. No one's going to make fun of you. In fact, everyone in your group is going to be like, oh yeah, say it again, keep singing. So we're all going to be encouraging. You're not going to do the 10 minutes of waiting. So youngest person, get ready to sing. We're going to go in a circle until I tell you to stop. So sing about the goodness of God. And let's keep it moving. Don't have tons of silence in between. All right, grab your Bibles real quick. Get back into your group. Has everyone sang? Anyone else not sang yet? All right. Okay, real quick. So grab your Bibles. Get back into your group. And look up here. Raise your hand if your group's getting ready to go on outreach. Okay. So just like Lindy was saying, is that you don't always have like 300 people in a room where you have someone else leading worship for you. So if you're in a group of 10 in the middle of nowhere, if you're up in the mountains of Afghanistan, you don't have the prayer room, you don't have your air conditioning, you don't have your whole like setup, we don't want that to be a crutch, right? Because I don't want my worship to depend on if someone else is telling me to do it, you know? That just gets kind of weird because Jesus is still worthy whether or not I have a sweet song like playing in my ears. And so also like Lindy said, is we want to get out of the mentality of the good musician singing while everyone else has their quiet time. Because there is something that happens when a group gathers together in corporate where the body is acting as it should be. That's why there's a different experience that happens than like what when we get together for worship than will happen by yourself. Does that make sense? So it's when the body is acting like it should and we're serving each other, we're doing this together. Ephesians 3 is really interesting. We all know when it says like that you may know the height, the width, the length, the depth of the love of Christ. But it's that you would know together. So there's something that happens of our understanding, our revelation of Jesus that can only happen when we're doing it as a body. Does that make sense? And so in this, just like someone asked earlier, well, how do I lead worship if I don't necessarily have the musical skills? So for me, like just like Lindy was saying, I want to respond to the revelation of Jesus. Worship is really simple. You don't have to tell someone when they see a sunset, okay, now after you see it, then you say, isn't that nice? You don't have to coach them through that. It's natural. When I see a sunset, I'm just like, oh, That's awesome. So beautiful. You don't have to tell me what to say. I just need to see Jesus. So as we're leading people in worship, we're saying, let's all look at Jesus. Let's stare at him. Because he's way better looking than anything in here. He's way better looking than you. Even though you're made in his image, let's just stare at him because he's so, so good. And so for me, in understanding worship, especially when I get into the nations, I think about the worth of Jesus. Because Jesus paid the price on the cross so that he could have every nation. One of the things I burn for is for Jesus to hear praise in every language from every place in the world. I get excited when I see other languages or other cultures, even in English, even in my American culture. When I see people worship Jesus, I was like, oh, he's been waiting for this. He loves this. He paid with his blood. He paid for this. And he's finally getting what he paid for. If I go into a store and I buy a painting and I walk out, I give them the money and they don't give me the painting, that's not right. It's right that I receive what I paid for. And so for me, it's right that Jesus gets what he paid for. And that's you, and that's the nations of the earth. So we want to give Jesus because he sits on the throne. Right now, Jesus sits on the throne. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. There is no one like him. There is no one like him. He is God. It's right that he's on the throne. Jesus is worthy of worship, whether we feel it or not. Whether I feel the emotion of that sweet song, that awesome build, and then they hit the chorus, or whether I'm like something horrible just happened to my family or my outreach team, or I just lost $100 or whatever it is. He's still on the throne and he deserves worship. Does that make sense? So we want to be people that are always giving Jesus the worship he deserves. So both in his worthiness of what he has done, but also just in his character, he's holy. He is holy. He deserves worship. When we stand in the prayer room, when we stand in this room, we realize that we're actually standing before a holy God, the same God that spoke the earth into existence with his breath. Let there be. That same God, and all of a sudden, all of creation, there you have it, in a few days. By his words, we're standing before that God. He says, come to me, look at me, sing to me. I want to hear your song. Isn't that amazing? The just God, he's huge. The one that made all of this, that made you. We get to worship him. This is fun. We get to stand before a holy God. It's our job to change the world by falling in love with Jesus. This is amazing. So one of the biggest things that I see in your leadership, and right now we're gonna, like Lindy said, some people, yes, they're called to lead worship for lots and lots of people. But everyone will lead worship, whether it's with a guitar in front of 100 people or whether it's with your buddy saying, "Let's just talk to Jesus and tell him how good he is. Oh, Jesus, you're so good." Whether you're singing or whether you're just loving on him with your words. So one of the greatest things I see in leadership is the casting of vision. Because you can have we can have a worship set in the prayer room and just kind of we can just jump into it and just start and just kind of, we're just kind of doing it. And we've all had very normal, we've had hard times, we've had great times and lots of average times in worship and prayer. Does that make sense? But I find that the more that I hear vision for what we're actually doing, the more excited I get. When I get the picture painted of what I'm actually doing, both in worship and intercession, it gives me new fuel to do it. Does that make sense? So we could just kind of start singing, okay, guys, so say, imagine yourself with your outreach team in some room somewhere, and you're saying, all right, guys, let's worship. It's 8:30. We all said we'd meet to worship, and you kind of do it because you have to thing. That's just going to be tough, and that's no fun. But what if someone said to your group of 10, you guys, today we get to worship in this room, and who knows if Jesus has ever heard worship from this square foot on the earth. This might be the first time that Jesus had fragrance arise from this spot. What do we say? Let's give him what he paid for. What do we say? We look at this holy God and actually agree with him about who he is and his worth. What if we put a smile on the face of Jesus today? Doesn't that sound fun? all of a sudden it's like, how great is our God? Yeah, he is great. Then it has new context when I have vision for it. Instead of, okay, sing your song again. I hate this song. Worship leader knows three songs. But if we're doing it with vision, you can do the three songs. Like, the angels have been singing Holy, Holy for a really long time. But they see him. So they're not bored. So here's what we're going to do. Within your group, two or three people, preferably pairs. What I want you to do is to pretend you're on outreach in the room, however many people are with you. And you're going to give a 30 to 60 second pep talk. You're going to cast the vision. We're going to worship anyway. You can even say someone else is going to lead worship. But you're the one, you're going to get us in the right frame of mind so that it's actually enjoyable and it's done with more vision so that we can have fun with it. Does that make sense? So you're going to practice with a buddy. You're going to give him or her a 30-second pep talk on what we're actually doing. The plan is, the team leader said, okay, we're going to worship for an hour before we start today. Hey, can just give us a pep talk. So 30 seconds. Is it that what we're actually doing? Paint the picture of the reality of what we're doing in worship. So get your buddy real quick, everyone on the feet. Do it with some enthusiasm, because if you're like, God's really holy, I really like him, let's sing a song. Like, this is the best thing ever! We get to look at a holy God! Do it with some enthusiasm. So, alright, actually let's do this. I'm gonna get a timer. So person one, get ready to go. We're going to do 45 seconds. And you have to keep going until I say stop. You have to keep going until I say stop. So get ready to give your worship pep talk with one other person. Ready, set, go. You ready to worship? Okay. I would highly suggest, even though you might hear the same thing five times a day, from your friend, from your buddy, do this all the time. That's one of the things that I love about Andy Bird. He's an incredible leader, but I hear him casting the vision consistently. And I've been around him for a few years, but I never get tired of him when he talks about the vision, even though I've heard him say it 100 times. It gets me excited every single time. So I would encourage you, even though you might feel like you're just saying the same thing over and over, as you say it, your heart's probably going to start going, oh, it is good. Oh, you're going to, I would say, do it all the time. Have someone, before you start worship, as much as you can, get someone to be like, all right, guys, here's what we get to do today. We get to stand before the same God that spoke all this into existence. Dare we enter the presence of this consuming fire? But he said to. So, but get a little pep talk every time. Cast the vision. Does that make sense? Okay, with your same... Actually, go ahead and switch partners. Get with another partner. Make sure you learn their name because you're going on outreach with them. Find out their middle name real quick. Alright, so you're with your partner? Here's what we're going to do. So I want to give you guys another tool that I found to be super helpful. Real quick. A hush fell over the crowd. One of the greatest tools that I found for myself is when I'm having an average to not so good day is gratitude. Sometimes I find that when I'm just kind of okay or just maybe not having a great day, I realize, oh, I didn't thank God for anything yet. And then I do and everything shifts. My spirit is happier because I realize the goodness of Jesus. Gratitude is one of the greatest things that you can instill into your lifestyle, obviously into outreach, but to daily, to start your day with gratitude. Saying, Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. Lord, I thank you for this breakfast that I've eaten the same thing for the last 31 days. Lord, every day for the last 31 days, you've been faithful to give me these same crackers and water. Thank you, Jesus. I'd be dead if I didn't have it. So it's something that's really, that I love. Andy suggested to do 5 things that are really great and 5 things that are kind of challenging. So here's what we're going to do with your partner. You're going to go back and forth, and I use my hands. I'm really simple. I just, okay, five things over here that, Lord, thank you that I get to live in Hawaii. Wow. How many people wish they could live here? It's so beautiful, Lord. Thank you. So I'll do five things over here. And then five things that are kind of challenging. Lord, thank you that I get to completely depend on you for my finances. I have a closer relationship with you because of the stories and the faithfulness that you've shown me because of that. Lord, thank you that I get to go preach the gospel even though I'm scared out of my mind. Because I get to depend on you and watch you do crazy stuff this afternoon. So whatever it might be. So I want you to go back and forth real quick. So you're just going to count until each of you, so you can go back and forth. One person does one great thing. Do that five times, back and forth. And then you do five things that are kind of challenging. Does that make sense? So you can kind of count it on your fingers. So, okay, there's 10 things. And they can be kind of funny. They can be simple. They can be deep. They can be your life, your family. So we're going to do rapid fire. So real quick. Ready? Set. So back and forth. Do we all understand? All right. So gratitude bombs begin. All right, get into your whole outreach team, get in a circle. All right, you guys know those games, real quick, everyone up here. Look up here. You guys know those games where it's like some sort of rhythm and then you like pass it to somebody and if they don't get it in time, then they lose? Yeah. I don't know. I don't have a specific one on mine, but it's like, da 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 da, you. And it's like, oh, I forgot the word. I'm out. Okay. So, you guys know what I'm talking about, maybe. So what we're going to do is we are going to do rapid fire adoration. One of my favorite things to do is just to describe God. Wait, real quick. How many of you feel better after you thank God for a bunch of stuff? You just feel like, oh, hey, this is a good day. Praise God. I hadn't even thought about that before. I took that for granted. And that beef stew, it was pretty good. That biscuit was delicious. So what we're going to do is we're going to do rapid fire adoration. Even if you say the same thing, even if you feel like, okay, I just said he's faithful three times, but maybe, oh yeah, he's good too. Thank you, Lord. So you're just do one at a time around the circle and you're going to keep going. But the goal is to keep it quick. It's not to do like a long drawn out prayer of, Lord, I thank you for that one time when I was four. I was scared for my dog's life and then I found him. Even though he had less limbs, he is still alive. Thank you for your provision for my pet. It's just going to be quick. It's going to be, Lord, you are faithful. You are good. You are kind. You are patient. You're fantastic. You're hilarious. We're just going to keep going around. If you say the same thing, that's fine. The goal is to be quick. But I also want to encourage you to, as much as you can, think about the Lord and to stretch your mind. Maybe you'll come up with words that you haven't thought of before. Like we've all said, he's good. And say that. He is good. But maybe there's some other things. We'll just kind of stretch ourselves a little bit right now. If maybe there's something else. Let me think about the Lord. Meditate on who he is. Oh, he's patient. Oh, thank you for your patience, Lord. Does that make sense? So we're going to go in. You're going to keep going in the circle until I say stop. You're going to be quick. So if the person before you, if you can't think of something, just say what the person before you said. And then everyone else agree. So if someone like in this group, what's your name? Kalila? That's awesome. So if Kalila says, Lord, you are so good to me. And then everyone else is like, oh, he is. So everyone else is just going to be agreeing with that prayer. And then the next person, Lord, you're faithful. And then everyone's like, yeah. So you just kind of agree with it. And like, let's just pray these things to Jesus. But we'll keep it quick. So let's do this. The person with their... Let's do the tallest person in the group will start. All right, so you start. You decide which way you're going. So ready? The goal is to be quick. And do it loud so everyone can hear you. Do it real loud. All right. Who feels good? It's just nice. It's fun to praise Jesus. Did anyone like hear or pray something that you'd never thought about Jesus being before? Anything new? Just, you don't have to say it, but just anything that you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. I've never thought that he was a warlord, but cool. Awesome. Okay. We're going to stay in our groups. We're gonna do some practical intercession. So, intercession. What is intercession? We're partnering with Jesus to bring his kingdom to earth. I think most of us have somewhat of an idea of what intercession is, as far as when we actually go to Jesus and say, okay, Lord, let's do this together. I think about intercession like the Garden of Eden, where it says Jesus came to walk with them in the cool of the day. He also told them to take dominion of the earth. That was the original dream of Jesus. So I think about intercession where it's like, okay, I'm with Jesus, walking hand in hand, and we're taking dominion everywhere we go. So it's like, okay, so I go to India, and I'm with my outreach team. We're in intercession, in prayer, intimacy with Jesus. We're saying, okay, Lord, bring your kingdom to this place. We're taking dominion. We're doing this together. So it's an intimacy thing, and we're bringing the kingdom of Jesus. We're bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so when we get into intercession, one thing that really helps me, just kind of a little picture you can remember, is the first few words of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in Heaven. The first one, our, is, for me, it's understanding that we're doing this together. It's a unity thing. It's not super excited, passionate prayer warrior prays for 20 minutes while we all listen and kind of get impressed with his super spiritual prayer. That's not unity. Where everyone brings something. We're doing this as a family. It's our Father in Heaven. Does that make sense? So whoever's leading the time, both in who's kind of facilitating it, and for the heart of everyone that's coming, we're all saying, we're doing this together. Never show up to a worship time, prayer time, with your team or anywhere for that matter, saying, okay, what do you got for me? I'm coming to get some stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, no, we're coming. We're not coming to have our quiet time. That's not the point, necessarily the point of the meeting together of the body. It's not necessarily to have your quiet time. You're coming together saying, okay, God wants to do something in this corporate group right now that he couldn't do when I was in my closet. Have tons of closet time with Jesus. You have to. But when we come together, we're here because we're here to engage with Jesus as a team, as a family. So that is so important. So whatever you need to do, the Lord's going to give you some specific ideas. So it might be everyone shows up with a verse or something. Everyone comes with something. I have a word for that person. I have a song I think we should do. I have a verse. I have a prayer I want to pray. Whatever it might be, but everyone comes to the table with something. Does that make sense? Also, our Father. That means that he's intimate. That we're in relationship with a Father. It means he's good. He's in heaven. He's holy. So those two things right there. Father in heaven, that means that he's intimate, but he's also infinite. So this is a great combination. These are things that I think we have to have in our spirit. We have to believe if we're going to walk into intercession with any sort of faith. Is if I don't believe that he is able, then why would I pray? Yeah. Where are you guys going on outreach?
South Africa.
So if I'm in South Africa, and I know that he wants to, but he might not be able to bring his kingdom, invade South Africa, then I'm not going to be too excited about our intercession time. But if I destroy all unbelief, and I'm saying it's easy for God to invade South Africa, he made it. Why would it be difficult? He's never looked at South Africa and got frustrated or kind of nervous, saying, uh-oh, it's a little bit too much now. It's easy for him. He made it with his breath. So he is completely able. He's also willing. So if he was able, but he wasn't really wanting to, then that'd kind of be a bummer too. It's like, God, I know you got all the power, but I don't know what you think about South Africa. Maybe you're not too excited about it. So I won't have much unbelief then. But say I have a friend who's a billionaire, and I want to see if he wants to support me as a missionary. So if I go to him and he wants to do it, if I go to a person and he doesn't have the money, but he wants to, that's not helpful for me. If I go to him and he has $1 billion, but he doesn't want to help me, then that's not helpful. But if I go to a God who is both willing, he wants to, and he's got the muscle to do it, this is exciting stuff. He's just waiting for friends. Isn't that wild, you guys? That God actually wants to and is able to do all the things that we're going to ask him for prayer, but he wants relationship with you so bad that he's actually going to say, I'm going to wait to do it with my friends. Where are you guys going in outreach? Nepal. So Jesus loves Nepal. And he's doing crazy things there anyway, but he's saying, I want so badly to be in relationship with your team that I can bring revival, and I want to, but I'm going to wait for you guys to pray it because I want to do it with you. Isn't that amazing? He actually waits for partners to come and say, let's take dominion of the earth, walking hand in hand in the cool of the day. This is a good God. Intercession is fun because he wants to do it. He's able to do it. Does that make sense? So even when we pray in this prayer room, I get excited because I feel like it's like the control center of the earth. It's like this military strategy room where God's actually, not only is he listening, but he's actually doing what we're saying. So, hey God, I have an idea. What if you ended human trafficking in India? He's like, sweet, let's do it. Yes. I'm game, and I got the muscle to do it. Let's end human trafficking in India. So when you get together in prayer, all of a sudden, the strategies of the earth, the nations, are at your disposal for you to make decisions with. It's like, okay, Jesus, but I'll tell you this, it's going to be a lot easier if you're already praying what he wants. Then it's just exciting. It's like, okay, if he wrote it in the Bible, that means that he already wants to do it. He's waiting for me to partner with him. So if I pray things from the Bible, that's like automatic dynamite. We're ready to go. Does that make sense? Sometimes I'll take like all this effort and energy and try and come up with these super spiritual prayers, and maybe one of them has a key in it or something that might unlock something, and something cool will happen in some nation, and maybe I'll hear about it someday, maybe. Or I could say, okay, Ephesians 1 says there's a prayer that Paul prays that he would open the eyes of our heart. So if I pray that means it's already on the heart of God. So if I pray that for the believers in South Africa, God already wants to do it. So this is good news. This is looking good for us. Does that make sense? So I would say pray as many scriptures as possible. So let's do this. We're going to practice an intercession pep talk. So get with a buddy. And you guys, your team's about to go into intercession for your outreach team. And you're going to give a 45-second pep talk to cast the vision, kind of like we did with worship. We're specifically going to target intercession to where it is your job to paint a picture of the reality of what's happening in intercession. So we just kind of talked a bit about it. But what is actually going on? Because when I understand what actually is going on when we jump into intercession, oh, that's going to be exciting. But if all of a sudden team leader's like, okay, guys, let's all pray for our outreach country, and everyone's like, okay, God, save souls, do some cool stuff. It's good, but it's just not very fun. Prayer, worship, intercession is loads of fun because we're with God. In Psalms it says, in his presence is pleasures evermore. So you can't really get further than 100% pleasure. So with him is the best thing ever. So we want to paint the picture now. So go ahead and grab your partner. Everyone stand up. So get with your partner. We're going to do 45 seconds motivating them. You're pretending like it's your whole team, saying, and you've already arranged, okay, we're going to do a half hour of intercession. But your job is to... If you give that little short thing, it doesn't have to be perfect, but just you saying, okay, let's paint the picture. Here's what's actually happening when we do intercession. It'll change that whole time. Your whole time of intercession is going to be drastically different. So, does that make sense? So with a little bit of enthusiasm saying, do you guys realize when we utter these weak little words, God hears it and he actually does it. When we say, Jesus, would you save souls in Kathmandu today? He hears it and he does it. And then you get to walk out. Oh, he really did it. I asked him to, and I got to see 10 people saved today. This is awesome. So, motivator, intercession, give us that crazy pep talk. Get a little wild look in your eye. Ready, set, go. Who's ready to pray and see revival? Let's do some intercession. All right, now switch. Now the other person. So, here's your scenario. For some reason, team leader said, okay, we're going to do it all day fast today. Everyone's super cranky. So it's that night. You're like, okay, we'll do it. But there's something in your spirit like something's going to break open tonight. But if everyone just kind of stays in this, because right now they're just a little bit cranky. They're a little bit in their flesh. So let's just paint the picture of what's going to happen in our time of intercession. So if it doesn't happen, we might just kind of stay cranky and have it. That won't be very fun. God will still do what he wants to do. But let's see the reality of what we're going to do in intercession. So you're going to get past that cranky belly, and our team's going to have a wild time in intercession. So here we go. Get ready. The team's kind of sitting there, looking at you, smelling the neighbor's food. They're distracted. So you have to have a little extra punch, a little extra animation, because they're thinking about that food. So ready, set, preach. Okay. I'm going to give you a few verses. Like I was saying, to pray scriptures, one of the sweetest things you can do. I don't know if you guys have ever been in a prayer meeting or someone's praying, but I've heard it before where someone will just kind of be praying and all of a sudden they'll use a phrase, whether they're saying the whole verse or just like a phrase of a verse, and there's like obvious agreement in the room. Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where it's like someone's just kind of, they're kind of going for it and they're just praying. All of a sudden they just kind of throw in a little verse in there and you just kind of like this extra, yeah, that's the Bible. I love the Bible. So there's something with scripture that's just like, I just think about it as like automatic dynamite. It's like, instead of having to come up with something ourselves, it's like already prepackaged explosive. It's ready to go. Because God wants to answer his own prayers. So we want to understand this both in adoration and worship, using scripture to worship Jesus because it's the truth of who he is, then also intercession. So I'm going to read a bunch of verses. This first one's going to be adoration. And you can look at them later. You don't have to write them all down. But I'm just going to give you references. I want you to just pick one so that you have a verse that you can just pull out. And I would encourage you, whether it's one of these or you have something else, that get a few, at least one verse that you can always pull out when you're adoring Jesus. Another verse that you can always pull out in intercession. So like, for example, Psalm 86, in verse 8, it says, "There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours." So I could, even if I just pulled out a phrase out of there, "There is none like you among the gods." And I can use that for my own personal time, but also in our corporate time, say, "Jesus, there is nobody like you. There is no one like you. There is none like you among all the gods of the earth that claim to be God. You are God. You alone are God. There is no one like you." There's just something about agreeing with scripture that is good for our heart, but then also brings unity to our group. So I'm going to throw out a bunch of references here. I just want you just to, if one pops out, just be like, okay, I like that one that he just said. And open your Bible, find a verse. So if you don't have it, maybe have it on your phone or something. We're just going to get a few phrases that we can put in our pocket to use. So here's a few references. 1 Chronicles 29, 11 and 12. Psalm 18, 1 and 2. So you're just going to grab one. And I'll give you a website where you can find all of these later. Psalm 86, 8 through 10. Psalm 136, 1 through 3. Psalm 145, verse 130. Isaiah 9, verse 6 through 7. Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Hebrews 1, 3. Jude 1, 25. Revelations 4, verse 8 and 11. Revelations 15, 12 through 13. Revelations 19, verse 16. Revelation 22, verse 13. So just one of those, you're just like, oh, I'll just use that one. So go and find it and just grab a phrase from there. We're just grabbing an adoration verse that we can have in our pocket. If you miss one, steal your friends. Or use it. Stealing's bad. All right, so you have a verse? Just one little adoration bomb you use in your pocket anytime you want? All right, so here's some for intercession. So again, just one of these, just kind of maybe like, okay, I'll take the fourth one, whatever it is. So I'm going to read a few intercession verses. Here we go. Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. Colossians 1, 9 through 12. Romans 15, 5 through 7. Romans 15, 13. Romans 10, 1. 1 Thessalonians 3, 9 through 13. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 through 24. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 through 12. That'll be good for now. So just grab one of those. You don't even necessarily have to use the whole verse. I just like pulling some phrases out and just using those phrases to pray. So y'all feel good? You have an adoration verse and an intercession verse? Okay. I'm going to give you a few general thoughts on worship, and then we're going to get into our whole outreach team. We're going to do it for several minutes. Okay. One is sing sincerely. Like Lindy was saying, we don't need to save face, or like a lot of people would say, just being religious, where we're just doing stuff because we have to, or we want to maintain some level of spirituality or seriousness. Especially when you're in a group of 10 people, if you're like leading or whatever and you're just doing something because you feel like you have to or because you feel like it's expected, it's just going to feel awkward. Be yourself. Be normal, especially when you're with your family, when it's a small group of you. Don't try to mimic the prayer room or another big corporate gathering if that's not necessarily what you're doing. Like, be yourself. If it's more of a small group format, then you don't need to have it be super professional and, like, serious. Just, like, be normal. Be yourself. Does that make sense? So it's okay just to be honest and be like, anyone have any songs or just whatever it is. Follow the Holy Spirit and be family. Start with simple vertical songs. If you're worshiping, let's start by looking at Jesus. And if he wants to direct it about something to do with our hearts or whatever it is, let's start by looking at him. Worshiping together is for the glory of Jesus and the encouragement of one another. Let's not spend tons of time being introspective. That can kind of take out some of your worship times if you're just kind of staring at yourself the whole time. Include everyone. Everyone brings a verse, a word, a song. Also, if the team leader asks you to kind of facilitate, don't be possessive with it. Don't be like, well, hey, I know you said you wanted to do that verse, but I'm leading this time. Obviously, there's organization, clarity. We don't want confusion and stuff, but don't use that as an excuse to be like conquering and just kind of dominate the thing. That's not fun. That's not team. Even team leaders. So whoever's someone can facilitate, but if you're facilitating, that doesn't even mean you have to talk the whole time. Might mean you say, hey, could you lead us in a song, or could you lead us in an intercession? And you give it away. Maybe people don't even know who was facilitating, but you're just kind of directing it. Does that make sense? So in that means you don't even necessarily have to sing to lead worship. We did adoration, gratitude, all that stuff without even using music. And how many of you felt your heart just like fall more in love with Jesus? Because you were thinking about him. You were responding to him. So, let's go and get in a circle with your group. You guys are doing amazing today. The afternoon, crazy time, you got lunch in your bellies and thank you. So I assume everyone is getting ready to go on an outreach. If for some reason you're not, just pick a country. We're gonna pray for our outreach country. So we're gonna start with a bit of worship. We're just gonna do some adoration. You can do it however you want. Are the staff in here? Are team leaders with your teams? Okay, cool. So let's do this. Why don't one of the staff pick someone to lead worship? Maybe someone that's never done it before. So just go ahead and pick somebody. And they will be picked in 3, 2, 1. All right, worship leader is now elected. All right, so here's what's going to happen. Worship leaders, don't get nervous and weird because you leading worship doesn't mean that everyone's going to listen to you sing for 20 minutes. That's not, we're done with that style. We're about family and everyone's going to be worshiping the Lord. The worship leader is just going to say, hey guys, this might be a fun idea. So maybe it's the adoration thing. Maybe the worship leader does have a song. Let's all sing this song. Worship leader, if you don't sing, feel free to go ahead and if you want to, just go for it. I think your group would probably love it. I think Jesus would probably love it too. But if you want to have someone say, hey, could you lead us in Here I Am to worship? Just the chorus. So your group's just singing that for a little bit. So, and then here's what's going to happen after that. Is we're going to do some really simple intercession for our outreach. So we'll start with a little bit of worship. Maybe it's a song. Maybe it's some adoration. And then we're going to jump into intercession for our outreach country. So what we're going to do is we're going to have, why don't one of the staff pick three or four singers? And if you want to volunteer, if you're scared of this, listen real quick. If you're scared of this and you're just kind of feeling, I'm done letting fear control me. I'm just going to jump out in the deep end and do this. I'm sick of this stupid fear. I'm going to go ahead and just sing right now. Go ahead and volunteer to your team leader. And so whether there's volunteers or team leader, pick 3 or 4 singers that are going to help us sing some choruses for intercession. So go ahead and pick 3 or 4 real quick. Just point, boom, boom, boom. Okay, so the singers are chosen. So here's what we're going to do. So we're going to worship for a little bit, and then we're going to jump in intercession. So someone will pray, and then one of the singers, you can decide what order if you want. One of the singers will then just sing a super simple chorus of what that person prayed. Victoria, where are you guys going? What? Spain. So they're praying for Spain. So then, who's one of your singers? Who's the singer over here? What's your name? Naftali. So say I'm in their group, and we do a little bit of worship, and then I'm praying for Spain. And I'm praying for the church. So I pull out one of my verses. Maybe the verse has something to do with unity. So I'm like, Lord, unify the church of Spain. So then Naftali is really simple chorus that everyone can jump on. If you make it complex, even if it's really cool, if you make it complex, it's going to be hard for everyone to sing. If it's a lot of words, people won't remember it. It'll take them 10 minutes to learn it, and by that time, you're kind of done. So Naftali is going to sing something like, unify the church in Spain, unify the church in Spain, unify the church in Spain, unify the... And you just sing that for a little bit, kind of get into a groove, and then... then someone else, so the team leader just calls, when you're in the middle of it, call someone else's name, and then they'll just pray for something else. So if you want to use one of your verses, then you will pray for another aspect of intercession for that country, and then singer two will jump on with a little chorus. Does that make sense? So for the next 10 minutes or so, you guys are going to pretend like you are on outreach. Then it would probably go a bit longer than 10 minutes normally, but you're going to have your own. So I'm not going to lead anything for the next 10 minutes. So worship leader is going to start with a little bit of worship, use some of those scriptures, and then from there, whenever she's ready, so I would go worship for 2 or 3 minutes. Worship for 2 or 3 minutes, and then jump into intercession. Does that make sense? So we're not professional. We're not trying to be super cool and have this amazing chorus that everyone's impressed with. I want to have a sincere heart that Jesus is impressed with. So he's attracted to that. He's attracted to my faith and my love for him. And then he moves. Not cool stuff for my team. Does that make sense? All right. So let's worship for a little bit. Use scriptures. Everyone's participating. No one's kind of hiding back, waiting for someone to call on you. Everyone's ready to go, eager to do everything that whoever's facilitating, praying, or whatever is saying. All right, let's worship. Just real quick, I'm just interested. Who, by a show of hands, that was actually kind of fun? Who, by a show of hands, that was also a little bit awkward? Awesome. One more hour. 4 more hours. Let's do it. All right, we're going to go until 7:30 doing the same thing. Just kidding. So here's just a few encouragements. One, a lot of you probably will have some sort of instrument that might help kind of establish the key for some of your choruses. And I would also say, even though this was a little bit awkward, do it one more time, 2 more times, and you're going to find a better groove. Because as a team, you're learning how to be a team. You're learning how to say, okay, like, this is how we flow together. Some of the leaders are learning to not be so controlling of, I have to have it this way, and this is what equals a good worship time. And some of the people that haven't done it before are realizing, oh my goodness, I can do this. Because we're done with the whole, like, the devil silencing all of us. That's dumb. So, just a few simple things. One would be, for those of you that are musicians, that are singers, well, all of us, let's learn, even as a team. Maybe there's a handful of songs that you guys can memorize. Maybe there's one hymn that you guys will have memorized before your team lands in your country. Just throwing out some ideas. But have some songs that everyone knows, so it's, you don't get there and be like, well, I guess I don't have the chord chart and people don't know the words, so we can't do any songs. For worship leaders, if you need some songs, I'm trying to think the best way to do this. If you need some songs, have your team leader contact me, and I can give you tons of chord charts I can make available to you. So learn some songs. That would be a huge thing. Use music. If you don't have an instrument, it's not less spiritual to put on like an iPod and worship with it. It's not like God doesn't like that. No, he made that. He likes that music. So be really normal. Be yourself. It's okay to use iPod stuff. Use instruments. Keep a rhythm going. Clap. Get fun with it. Go to the kitchen. Find some percussion stuff. Write some songs. Yeah. Your team should come back with, like, let's do this. Dare yourselves to come back from outreach with 5 songs that you guys wrote. Come back with 5 songs, because you can do someone else's songs, but I guarantee you, I've seen it happen, when we do a song that, like, was written with our crew, there's fresh life on it. There's just something different when it's like, oh yeah, I remember the day that Carl came up with that chorus and we all started weeping, and that's one of our choruses. I remember the day when Cammy just started singing this deal and I just can't get that melody out of my head. This is one of our songs as a team. Does that make sense? So write some songs while you're on outreach. You got to have some fresh stuff from the day. If you're in D.C., you're just singing something about, like, Lord, fire's breaking in at DuPont Circle. Fire's breaking in at DuPont Circle. Every time you sing that, something's going to happen. It's like, oh, yeah, that's our thing. That's our jam. There's some fresh sauce on that. So keep doing this as a team. If you got some team time to do it before outreach, do it again. Just keep doing it. Have some fun with it. Bring your own ideas. Have a wonderful afternoon. We'll see you at 6 o'clock in here tonight. Be blessed.